Hey, everybody. It is Wednesday, June 5th, 2019. It is the 3 p.m. Eastern Time PSS call. Again, June 5th, 2019. And today we're going to talk about keeping it simple. So let's start with some celebrations and see where everybody is, and then we'll move into the topic. So who wants to get us started?
I'll start. This is Celia. And if Diane would be smiling right now, because we worked really hard last session to get me to understand that I had to take aim at one thing when you have a million things in the morning. And so she kept saying, one thing, you got it. What is it? So we settled on getting dressed. We said that
okay.
Came down to one thing, getting dressed, okay? It's like going back and taking baby steps, so getting dressed. And yesterday, I was in the kitchen. I was out. He pops in the morning, dressed. Yeah.
Seems like such a simple thing, but it's a huge accomplishment, isn't it?
I almost fell over. He's dressed now. He's wearing completely goofy clothes. His outfit looked, I don't know, it looked really funny, but he had actually picked out his clothes and dressed himself, and I was not going to change a thing. It's like, right on.
Good for you.
And he was very proud. See, Mom, I changed. I dressed myself. I said, right on. So that's
well
my success.
Done.
I know it sounds like a baby step, but it's all the Sandy school and all you're telling me to aim, it comes down to having you guys coach and say, no, you have to take one thing. So I think that was really important.
And what I'm really hearing is not only did you take that coaching, but look at how quickly you got results when you did take aim.
It felt good because I kept hearing myself say one thing. You need just to do this one thing. And that was really important because so often I'm like, we got to do this, get breakfast, get your teeth brushed. You gotta, blah, blah. And so I even found myself saying, oh, that feels good to just say you have to do one thing. So that's my success.
So how did he feel about it?
He felt proud.
Good. Awesome. Beautiful. Congratulations. Kathleen, what about you?
Things have been going pretty good at school. He gets along so well with his teacher now. I'm really sorry that it's the end of the year, you know. But he seems to be in a good place with, like, his classmates and his teacher, and he's learning a lot. He has come so far this year. It's amazing. Because he started at, like, mid-kindergarten levels at the beginning of the year, and he's at grade level at the end of the year, which is it's amazing, you know. So that's great. But I could use some lessons on the getting dressed myself for him. Yeah, because that's something, I mean, I think that's a great accomplishment. We usually dress him the night before so we don't have to deal with it in the morning because it's just,
oh, that's
takes
so
too long.
Funny. Yeah, I'll tell you, Kathleen, I was like a robot. One thing, it was like mantra, just one thing, dress, one thing, that's all you have to do. And I didn't put any other pressure into the equation. Of course, we have to brush your teeth and eat breakfast and, you know, gather things, but just one thing.
Yeah. So I want to clarify, because what I'm hearing, Celia, is that it was one thing for him to do on his own.
Exactly.
Right?
On his own.
Session. You continued to scaffold and support the other stuff, and it was like this is the one place for him to be independent.
Yeah, and even if you listen to the tape last session, I told Diane, no, he is not capable of dressing himself. And she said, well, then go and help him get dressed, but keep saying one thing, you know. So I was pretty shocked that he just walked out wearing, you know, the most funniest looking outfit. But he you know, usually I lay out the clothes, but he did it. He
right.
looked very proud. See,
well,
Mom, I dressed myself.
And Kathleen? Kathleen,
yeah.
I don't want to I want to hold you to, it may or may not be that you want to take aim on getting dressed, but there is no shame in getting him dressed the night before either. I used to do the same thing at that age. So, you know.
I never even thought of that,
Kathleen. Take aim on what you're ready. Oh, yeah, we used because, oh, yeah. That's a great strategy. I'm a big believer. Until you're ready to take aim on it, because you can't take aim on everything. So you have to, like, you have to figure out how to get it done until you can. Right.
You mean what's short,
so,
the pants and shirts and everything? You just have them all completely dressed?
Yeah, he's just dressed. All I got to do is socks and shoes in the morning. And that is hard enough, you know. So,
wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
I will confess, I used to have the pants by the side of the bed.
So,
I
don't have,
clean,
like,
underwear
like
at night. And,
yeah. He doesn't wear anything that snaps or zips. They're all, like, the stretchy ones, you know. So, they're not too uncomfortable to sleep in.
Like, he's sleeping in sweats or something
like that. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. I love it. So. That's great. Okay, so let's move on to taking aim. And, Kathleen, no pressure to take aim on getting dressed. So, I'm going to start with Celia and let you think about what you want.
Yeah.
Celia, where do you want to take aim?
Notice, Kathleen, I'm not talking about the rest of the morning.
we're
just looking at your keeping things simple, and that sort of does segue into keeping things simple by remembering that it's just one thing. So, you know, if I found success in doing that as one thing, I can see where this is going, which is to take aim at something else that's one thing. So.
Mm-hmm. So what's the next thing for you?
I'm too busy celebrating this.
Well, so let me ask you a quick question, okay? What had you choose that one thing of him getting dressed? Why that? What was
it
important?
It starts the morning. I think that's the one thing I have to do in the morning before we do anything else, because that just starts the morning. So.
Okay. So it was about sort of getting the ball rolling.
Yeah, getting the ball rolling.
For you.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Yeah. And so there was a value to you in choosing that as well as a value to him.
Yeah, I think that's when Diane said, okay, what is it? I said, well, you know, the more I think about it is one thing is just get dressed. It drives me nuts. He wants to come out and eat in his jammies or walk around in his jammies or run around. He's an exuberant child. He's just so happy in the morning, but he just starts running around in his jammies, and then you can't do much. So
can't get him out.
That,
well, and the key word that you just said in there was it was driving you crazy.
Yeah, it was,
so you
because
took aim on something that was kind of driving you crazy, which is going to reduce your stress, right?
It did. It reduced my stress because that's one thing I didn't have to worry about. I got one big step out of the way in the morning, that was great. So it kind of sets
the
tone.
So what's something else? What's something else that you want to get out of the way? What's next?
Well, we've kind of gotten down the whole breakfast routine, so I think that really sets the tone for the morning, and the morning is going actually smoother now. I think I'm targeting other things now, which would be maybe we'll focus more at transitioning from the car to the house. It's kind of always a nightmare,
so
you know.
Transitioning from the car to the house after school.
Yeah.
And by that, do you mean literally getting out of the car and getting into the house, or is there something more detailed?
Yeah. Well, just trying to get homework and things scattered around in the car into the house. So right now I'm targeting on taking your bag, a book bag, out of the car into the house. So the next take aim
is getting school stuff, book bag or whatever's around the book bag on the floor, into the house.
Yeah. And it doesn't have to be all his packages or anything else, just the book bag with his homework in it. So that's my next big target, because that's always when it's time to do homework, we're like, well, where is it? And it's scattered around
in
the car.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So getting the school stuff / book bag into the house.
Yeah, I think that's what we've been working on.
Okay. And Kathleen, what about you?
That's a tough one for me, too. I was thinking along the lines of what we're talking about today is that I don't really have any systems in place, like, at all. So I have tried to implement some in the past, but it just they never work. So I need to figure out some systems that work for us, I guess, as far as like having some kind of plan.
So I want to remind you, uh-huh, right, that the point of a system is to accomplish a goal. So you have
right
to set the goal first.
Okay.
And then you create the system to help you achieve the goal. But the system isn't the goal, right?
Okay, right.
So what's the change that you want to see? What's one area that you'd like to see improved or changed?
We really need to do something about bedtime at our house. It takes a long time. And we kind of follow the kids around saying, now you do this, now you do that, you know, and they know all the things they need to do to get into bed. But I don't know how to do something about them getting there without, like, following them around saying, now you do this and now you do that. And so...
So if you could improve one part of your bedtime, do you feel like you have a bedtime routine? Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, we kind of have a bedtime routine. I think the worst thing about the whole bedtime thing is that they need somebody to sit in there with them forever, you know, which maybe I could take aim on that.
You
and
need
like
to
start,
go to
like,
sleep.
To go to sleep, yeah. Maybe we could start figuring out how to, like, get out of the room, you know, like after, like, 15 minutes, you know, instead of 45 or something like that, because that would help a lot, you know.
It would help you a lot to be able to get
it would
out
help
of
me
it
a lot, yeah.
So what, yeah.
I don't know if it would help them a lot, you know. But
so what you want is to be able to minimize the time that you spend sitting while they fall asleep.
Right, yeah.
Okay. Okay. Cool. Okay, so let's shift into, so you both referenced it, the topic of the week is to keep it simple, right? Mm-hmm. And the idea is that we have this tendency to make things way more complicated than they need to be. You know, I was just looking at it yesterday. I found this old reward chart that I had from one of my kids that was just ridiculously complicated and had, you know, like 12 different major topics on it. You know, there was no taking aim in that worksheet. It was like, it was so complex. And so keeping it simple is about what you're pointing to, Celia, which is one thing at a time. What's one thing? What's one thing? It's really keeping it simple, getting really super crystal clear on the change that you want to see so that you can put a system in place or put a process in place to achieve it. So that's part of the simplicity, is real clarity. But the other part of the simplicity is not making it too complicated, right? It's making sure that you put a system in place that's not making it harder for you to manage or for them to remember or any of that. I have this memory when my kids were little, I had one of these reward charts, a different one than the one I was just mentioning. And it had two columns, had probably 20 different things on it that they needed to do. It was every step they needed to accomplish from start to finish. In the morning and then again at night. I guess the two columns, there was a morning one and an after school one. And then there was points, and it was you get 2 points for this and you lose 3 points for that and you have 5 bonus points for this. And I mean, it was ridiculously complicated, and so much so that not only could I not even remember, but I couldn't keep up with it. So I had put the system in place that was then becoming, you know, a villain to me. Right, I was making it harder for myself and stressing myself out because then I got upset because I wasn't using the system I had put in place, right? And it's because I had made it too hard, I'd made it too complicated. So part of keeping it simple is focusing on one thing at a time. And part of keeping it simple is to not make things so complicated that it's really too hard to accomplish them, either for them or for us, right? And our ability to manage it is every bit as important as their ability to remember or do it. So what you're saying, Kathleen, about wanting to get out of the room at night, it's absolutely reasonable to say, that is 45 minutes I really would like to spend differently. It creates stress for me to be sitting there for that long. And so part of keeping it simple might be, I just simply need, that's not time well spent. let me find a different way to use it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, it may be that you decide it is time well spent at some point, or, you know, there's a compromise, and maybe it's not 45 minutes, maybe it's 30 minutes, or, you know, who knows what you come up with. But to start by saying, I need to figure out what makes my life simpler so that I can be less stressed and be more available to my kids,
mm-hmm.
right? And that's a huge part of what simplicity is about, is letting go of the shoulds that we're supposed to have all of these systems in place. Because you started off saying, for example, that you don't have a system, but then you said, yes, you do have a bedtime routine. So that's a system,
okay.
right? So you mm-hmm. actually do have systems. But we have this, you know, we've gotten this notion or this message that somehow if you don't have a reward chart or you don't have a mechanism, that you don't have systems. That's not true, actually. We all tend to have sort of the ways that we do things. Just because you don't have a chart on the wall doesn't mean you don't have systems. And sometimes the chart on the wall may make it too complicated. So making sure that you know what's expected and that's really clearly communicated as simply as possible is really what we're talking about in terms of keeping mm-hmm. it simple. So I want to stop and sort of open it up. Let's talk about what comes up for you two when you think in terms of keeping it simple. Like, is it hard? Is it, are there pressures? Like, what are you thinking? What are you noticing?
Well, I think that the strategy of taking aim at one thing is actually pretty wise, because it's providing you a natural building block for a system, that you don't actually do a system from the ground up. It's more organic when you are saying, okay, now one thing, you have to get your book bag out of the car, or one thing, you have to get dressed. And then you sort of build on that one thing. Okay, another one thing. I mean, I'm seeing it a simple way of building a system, because I've done the same thing. My husband's an engineer, and you should have seen the chart he had on the wall at one point. I mean, he's... I should have saved it because it was so great, but it looked like, I said, are we going to do a presentation or are we trying to train our child here? you know, it looked like something, it looked like a PowerPoint presentation. It was great, but,
right.
you know, and then we did a little reward system too, but like you said, those things get, you have to get their buy-in, you have to keep switching them out. But the one thing, like a mantra, is actually really wise, because you're building on one thing, and that's kind of getting into ingrained into his thinking process and mine. You know, don't discount that mm-hmm. this is about training the parents too, because what Diane did the last session was to sort of get that scattered feeling out of my brain to say, just, you know, look at one thing. It was like TM for parenting for ADHD. One thing. and so, you know, you're really looking. And so you're building it more organically, and you're not feeling so scattered. Now, of course, you got everything else going on, but once you succeed on one thing, I'm just feeling really good about the dressing thing. And I'm trying it now on the book bag. And I think that's one way. It's one way for a very tired mm-hmm. parent that feels overwhelmed.
Right. Well, when you made it simple, what did that open up for you?
Well, when you have a little success, and I'm listening closely to Catherine's struggle with the bedtime routine, because I'm right there too. I mean, I've actually resorted to saying, I've got to go to the bathroom, I'll be right back. you know, mm-hmm. I've resorted to, okay, I've read this part of the story, and now we're going to take 10 minutes just to be quiet and think about that part of the story. And so then if you hopefully hear snoring at within about 3 minutes, but, you know, mainly he's on to that now, these ADHD kids. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's like, I'm still awake, but, you know, but those, it does... Going back to your question, Elaine, it really does make you feel like you can handle it then. You're actually focusing yourself on one thing.
So a sense that you can handle it. So it's not just his success, but your own feeling of success.
Yeah, it's my own feeling, because when she said, just focus on one thing, that made me only think of one thing. It kind of made your brain mm-hmm. think of only one thing instead of 1,000 things.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So, Kathleen, what about you? What's coming up for you?
Yeah, I think we're on the same page here, because I'm really scattered and tired all the time, too. So maybe I should have been talking to you guys with you guys last week when you were, or whenever you were talking about just one thing, because, boy.
Well, you can go listen to the last call with Diane. It would
have
been
about
2 weeks ago.
Yeah, I'll have to go back and do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was really funny. She had to, like, rein me in several times. One thing, because I was like, I can't do this and this and this.
Yeah.
So Kathleen, you're feeling that there's a lot of overwhelm.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Right.
What makes things complicated?
I don't know. I guess I have a lot of expectations still. Although I think I've been able to be more realistic lately, but you know, I still kind of compare myself to other people, and I'm thinking this should not be this hard, but it is for me, you know. So,
Two kids within 7 months of each other—you don't think that should be hard?
yeah. And sometimes, let me tell you, it's the other one that's hard. It's harder than the ADHD one, because I don't know.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
You have two little boys that are bouncing off each other, right?
Yeah, right.
You know, and that's going to take its toll no matter what. But what I heard you saying is that what makes it harder is some expectations or shoulds
mm-hmm.
that somehow it should be easier, you should be different, you should be handling it some way that other people do. Like there's this shooting all over yourself that I'm kind of hearing. Is that accurate?
Oh, yeah, that's probably true.
Okay. So, and I think it's great that you identify that as what's sort of making things complicated, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's a complicating factor. So what do you feel like, what's the message you're telling yourself?
By telling myself that things should be different.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I feel like I should be able to figure it out. You know, I feel like I'm like I should be smart enough to figure this stuff out, but it's just. Nothing's coming to me.
Okay. So the thought is you should be handling this better, and the feeling behind it is if I were better at this, I'm not good enough. Is that resonating?
Yeah, I think that's pretty accurate.
Okay. And Celia, just checking in, would you say that's kind of a feeling that shows up for you from time to time?
Oh, well, it nails it. I'm right there with Kathleen. She's like, I feel like she's Ginger Rogers to my Fred Astaire. She's doing everything backwards and on high heels, you know, with two. But I do feel that we have this feeling, especially when I get triggered. It's not even funny how I feel like I've failed. I should be better at this. I should be better. And I also say I signed up for this. Yeah, and I also say I signed up for this. You know, this is something I signed up for. I really, really wanted more than anything in my whole life. So I should not be so cross.
Mm. Okay, so there's lots of shoulds going on, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so what makes things complicated is not just a system that's too much or taking aim on too many things. But really, it's shitting all over ourselves and living by other people's expectations that really can add this whole other weight. It's like you got a weight on your shoulders and now someone's pushing it down, right?
Mm-hmm.
So is that resonating?
Yeah.
Yeah, cause I'm with Kathleen as far as the success at school. I mean, my teacher called my kid a success story last week, which is, you know,
wow,
amazing, because we were about to be kicked out of that school at Christmas time.
At one time,
so,
yeah.
You know, I think that you have to get away from those shoulds, but they linger when you're, especially when you're really trying to, when you're struggling.
Mm-hmm. So, Kathleen, what were you going to add? And then let's talk about how to get rid of the shoulds.
Oh, yeah, I don't know. I guess, like she said, we signed up for this, and I feel like I kind of promised his birth parents that I was capable.
Mm. So you've got a lot of messages you're telling yourself that I'm not good at this, I'm not capable, I'm doing this wrong. So when you pull back to 30,000 feet, right, and you look down on your family life, let's say get up to the ceiling and look down on the family between, you know, 4 and 8, 7 or 8 p.m., whatever time they go to bed. Are you really failing them?
We have a lot of really good, nice evenings, you know, and then bedtime rolls around and sometimes that's not so bad either. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe,
So we have you're having a nice time together as a family, mm-hmm, and sometimes bedtime goes better than others, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, it's pretty
Are
much
you
every
really
night we're
capable.
No.
Okay. No, but I want you to really get that, right? Because you're telling yourself this message and you're not, and there's nobody challenging it. And the only one who really can challenge it is you.
Mhm.
Right? So is it true?
No, I don't think that's true.
So what is true? Be really honest with yourself right now. Stay up on that ceiling looking down on your family. And sometimes they're running around and playing and you're chasing them around. And sometimes they're laughing and rolling on the floor. And sometimes they get into a fight.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes they get right into bed. And sometimes it takes a little longer. What's really true?
Well, it's pretty good sometimes, you know. So I don't know. Maybe I am capable.
Is that a maybe?
Yeah.
So, do you expect it to be perfect?
Probably.
So if you gave it a grade, right, we're near the end of the school year, would it be an A, B, C, or D? What do you give yourself for evenings, family evenings?
For evenings?
Mm-hmm.
Overall,
not just
overall,
the last day or week.
Maybe B minus. It's not
okay.
Terrible, but it's, you know.
Yeah, it's not bad. Celia, what about you?
Can I break it down to separate grades? Because I'd give myself a very low grade on my trigger point and my behavior that I know I'm working with Diane on. I'm taking deep breaths. But overall, on just having them safe and happy and
mm-hmm,
you know, just doing it and doing a good job, because I would be talking to somebody else if we were one of those perfectionist people. You know, no, mm-hmm,
we're pretty organic here.
Okay, so you get two grades. You get a grade for sort of the environment and a grade for your own emotional management.
Yeah, my own emotional management, I would give a low grade, like a C. But for the environment, I would give a higher grade, like a B+, A-. A-,
awesome.
Because I've got a great partner who, you know, it's just
who helps.
Awesome.
Okay. So, So when you pull back and look at that for both of you, right, and I remember early on in our ADHD management looking at my husband and saying, you get that a 90 is still an A, right? So a B minus, Kathleen,
mm-hmm.
overall grand scheme of things, a B minus that may have been a C a year ago and is now a B minus, is that fair to say?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. So is that good enough if you know you're working at continuously improving it?
Yeah. I guess that is okay.
Yeah.
And, you know,
and it's not perfect.
Talking about emotional management, too, I get triggered a fair bit myself, and I don't actually know why, but, like, the last 2 weeks have been pretty a lot chiller than usual, but I'd like to figure out why I am, and because that helps a lot, you know. But because I need to keep doing what it is that's making it that way, and I don't know that anything's changed, but yeah.
Well, so, and I would argue, as you're doing a program like this, anything's not changing, you're changing. Your thoughts are changing, your mindset is changing, your approach is tweaking and shifting.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right.
And as you do that, the stress will start to lighten and lift. When you feel more confident in your approach and your decision making, what's the impact of that likely to be on the family?
Mm-hmm. I think it would make a huge difference.
Mm-hmm. So if things have been a little more chill lately, any chance you could give yourself credit for some of that?
Okay.
Well, I don't want to convince you. I'm asking you really authentically. Do you think you've earned some credit for that, that you've played a role in that? Or can you see how you've played a role in that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it makes a big difference.
Mm. Yeah. So there's this message that you tell yourself that pulls you, that is likely to move you more towards trigger, right? And then there's this other message you can tell yourself that allows you to be more chill.
Mm-hmm.
And so whether you're looking at, you know, getting the book bag into the house or whether you're looking at getting out of the bedroom earlier, what's your confidence that you're handling it up until now, that you've handled it as best you could? Are you willing to accept that up until now you've done the best you could with what you had to work with? This is for both of you.
Yeah, I think so, and what's really neat is even if I am triggered, Diane had a great visualization the other time when I was talking to her particularly about those moments, and she said, would you be cross and upset with a child who was having a seizure? And so I think of that now, you know, why are you getting cross? Because he can't help it right now. He's just being this way. And that's helping. So those little voices in my head, I think even if I disappoint myself, like I did last night, but I continually go back to that. And that has helped because I struggle to get to that point more. But I have actually been at that point on some occasions.
Mm-hmm.
So I do feel good about that I have at least a goal to visualize and say, okay, this is how he is. You can't be upset.
Mm-hmm.
And that's coming straight from you guys, but it's internalizing me. So
right. But you're
bravo.
Channeling it.
Yeah. So bravo.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Sometimes I envision you guys looking in the window. I know, but it sounds funny, but I'm like, well, now am I learning this properly? You know, am I learning? Is this really, you know, anyway.
I love it. I love that. So, Kathleen, what about you?
Yeah, I've started to try to, you know, think about it as like, more like communication, you know, when they're, as opposed to them, like, being bad, as like, I try to think of it as like they need something, you know, they're trying to tell me something when they're really driving me crazy, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love that. To shift from they're driving me crazy to, wow, they need something. What do they need?
Yeah. So that's helped some too. I don't always get there, but that's what I try to do.
Well, and that's part of the battle. I mean, I truly believe that the three words that can change things for you are up until now, right?
Mm-hmm.
Up until now, you've done the best you could with what you have to work with. From here forward, you have new information and new ways of thinking about things that are helping you change things. And you have to give yourself permission for change to take a little bit of time, right? It's not going to happen overnight. It's
mm-hmm.
going to happen in baby steps over time, and then you're going to look up and say, wow, I'm at a B minus this year instead of a C, right?
Yeah.
And
yeah, when I think about it,
right?
There definitely has been improvement, for sure. It's
yeah.
Just still not fantastic, you know? So.
Right. So I want to be mindful of your time, Kathleen. I know that you needed to leave early.
Yes, thank you
so
much.
And
so
I just want to ask you to just sort of wrap up and ask, what are your ahas or takeaways?
Well, yeah, I like the fact that, you know, you made me think about that things actually have improved, and even though it's not great, that, you know, we're going in the right direction. So.
Yeah. And so when you looked at your bedtime issue, what's
mm-hmm.
if you can even narrow it down, right? We talked about minimizing the time.
Right.
What I want to encourage you to look at, because I don't think we've really been able to address it in this call, is like, what is actually keeping you there?
Uh-huh.
Right? I mean, I'm sure they're saying stay, right?
Right, yeah.
But what's actually keeping you there in terms of what you're telling yourself? Because just because they say stay doesn't mean you necessarily need to stay or it's best for them to stay or like,
right.
What's your instinct and trusting your instinct to do
mm-hmm.
well, not worrying about what anybody else would do or should do, but really asking yourself, what do they need now? And it may be that you decide they still need me to sit here. And if so, then you get to choose to do that. And it may be that you decide you feel like it's time for them to start weaning of that, and then you can confidently set off on the path to change that. But I want to empower you to trust your instinct, right?
Okay.
And make the decision based on what you think is best for them, not what you think you should do. Is that fair?
Yeah. Sounds good.
Okay.
All right.
Cool. All right, take care. And Celia, what about you? What are you taking away from
thanks
today?
Thanks so much.
Kathleen, thanks for being here. My pleasure.
Mm-hmm. Bye.
Celia, what are you taking away?
I'm taking away a lot. This has been very valuable, as they all have, but this one particularly. Thanks, Elaine.
My pleasure.
I would like to focus on continuing the just one thing, building blocks for systems organically. So we each kind of ingrain it into our head what we need to do. and that's, I think, is a better approach for our household, because trying to have a system is too complicated, as you said. But I like the just one thing and continuing to take aim at just one thing. So it'll be the book bag. It'll be maybe another routine at nighttime. My takeaway is trigger management, as always, but I loved your up until now, which is what I will have that to set myself up for success. Up until now is a nice mantra, and from here forward, and then not expecting it all to just happen magically. It's a lot of work.
Yeah.
It's a lot of work.
It is a lot of work. But, you know, parenting takes time. You know, that's why we've got 20 years.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
Yeah. It does take a lot of time, but it's rewarding time when you feel you know what you have, kind of an idea what you should be doing. Even Kathleen just saying that, you know, the communication, what is it you want? I know that. But what's valuable about getting on the line with you guys is to have it kind of said to me again, because I just got to have it said to you, and then you kind of reflect on it and then try to remember that the next time you're in the thick of things.
Mm-hmm.
So today will be keep it simple, continue with just the one thing, be a little less hard on myself.
I love that. I always love that, be a little less hard on yourself.
You know, we're just so, I think, because we had that last session on judgment, and because you just feel that, but I don't know where that's coming from, except internally. The school system we're at is very helpful, very, very supportive. You know, Kathleen's talked about coming to the end of the year, but this is the most amazing story on my end, is the teacher has, our first grade teacher has asked to take her class, our little class, into second grade. So I'm I'm really thrilled about that, because she's already working with me closely on meds, and so I won't have to break in a whole new teacher. And so that's a huge success for me, that she is just such a team player with my son, but there's a number of kids like him in the class, and so she's just doing magic and taking them all to the next grade, just because they all need so much attention. So
it's so rare to find a teacher who really gets it.
Yeah, she does, and it's interesting. She told me she got in trouble with the administration for suggesting it. They were like, no, but she really insisted, because this class is particularly hard. There's a number of ADHD or other kids in the class that need extra help. So,
well, I don't know. You probably know. Do you know that we teach Sanity School for Teachers, right?
You know, I sent her your webinar, your free webinar, but that was in the very early part of the year when we were struggling to figure out my son and what was going on. But
if she's got that many kids in that class like that, you may suggest it, because she may be even able to talk the administration into letting her do it, and she could do it over the summer, because it's
I listened to your webinar just to make sure that it seemed like it was appropriate, and it did. It seemed all your pinch method and your whole approach just seemed really straight on, and I loved how gentle you were saying that this has nothing to do with your teaching. It's supportive to how, you know, these children are. And so I will suggest it again and say, you know, I've thrown out your names. I've got a support group here that I was going to with my medical provider, and I threw out Sanity School. And it was funny, because everyone laughed thinking I'd made it up. I said, no, it's a real, you know, online site. And then you saw, like, all the iPhones come out and everybody writing it down and tapping it into it. So, you know, there's definitely a
first. Oh, that's great.
Yeah, it was really funny.
That's great.
But, yeah, this has been particularly helpful, Elaine. So
glad.
Thank you.
Well, it was delightful being with you, and keep doing the great work. Give yourself space to just one step at a time.
One step, and just not be so hard, but take these steps forward and really work on each of these things we talked about today. But really, mainly, the main
Absolutely.
Thing will be just one thing.
Yeah. Yep. I hear you.
All right.
Go forth. You're doing great.
Congratulations on your graduating. The
I
high
appreciate
school graduation.
It. It's pretty exciting. Yeah, it's pretty cool. Three up, three down. Feels really good.
Oh, congratulations.
All right, take care.
All right, thanks, Emily. Bye.
You too. Bye-bye.